want you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 5. I'm going to abbreviate this. I'm sometimes overwhelmed. Sorry, we have so many missions and so many announcements. And if you're not on the New Life Equip email, please get on there. I don't know how in the world you would remember all this, and we don't do bulletins. So we're going to send that out, and we hope to not over-inundate you. I don't know if that's a double something, but with sending the emails of announcements and things. But we've got a lot going on, and we'll send these things to you. John chapter 5, verse 39. Let me share. I have one central principle to share with you this morning. And it's this thought, as I was praying, I woke up at 4:45 a couple days ago and was having just a sweet time with Jesus, and this formed in my heart, moving from Christianity to Christ, and it's so basic, it really is, and I'm praying that my heart won't be critical toward Christianity as it is, but I have a central concern, and it's not just mine. I've read multiple books and prophetic voices that have the concern, and the scriptures are concerned about the difference between what is religion and what is the person of Jesus. You could live most of your life just in the religion of Christianity. And as I use Christianity, that's what I mean right now. And thank the Lord for all that's come, hospitals and good works and various things. I mean that. And I'm thankful for Christianity. But obviously that came from Christ followers. And you could actually do all of that and miss Jesus, and we know that tragically. We've seen in the last couple of years some people that were even leaders in youth groups for most of their high school days and other places that didn't know the gospel of Jesus. They didn't know the person of Jesus and being born again, but they'd done a lot of ministry. They'd been in charge, they'd been on committees. Shoot, I've heard of elders and deacons because it's not a requirement anymore to have disciples in those positions. Some of them getting saved later in life, and they meet Jesus and praise God for that. But oh, there's a warning here for us. In John 5:39, arguably one of the top 10 verses that I share a lot, is it so touches me. It says, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures," which means the Old Testament at that time, obviously, "because you think in them you have eternal life. But it's they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." And that's obviously clear. The religious order of that day, the Pharisees, were just so well known that they'll be better theologians than any of us will ever be, and maybe anyone on the planet. The scribes memorized books of the Bible, the Old Testament. It's amazing what they did, and they would search and search and search the scriptures looking for life. And Jesus was actually the point of those scriptures. And when he's among them, they're missing him. It's an amazing thing that you can know the Bible real well and miss relationship with Jesus. I see it all the time. You can know mission real well and totally miss Jesus. You really can. And the scriptures warn us about this in 2 Timothy 3:5. In the midst of a pretty strong passage, it says, "Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people." In Hebrews 13:12-14, the writer says, "So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. So therefore, let us go to him outside the camp." And the camp here means outside of Jerusalem, outside of the religious order of things. That's really what it was referring to. "Go outside and bear the reproach which he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come." And then lastly, a familiar passage in Revelation chapter 2 in the New King James Version. It says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear with those who are evil, that you're searching for some holiness. And you've tested those that say they're apostles." So you're good theologians. You keep going after the word, but they're not. You found them out as liars. And you've persevered and have had patience. And you've labored even for my name's sake and have not become weary. I love that about you, he says to the church in Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And you've heard so many sermons, and that's self-evident, that scripture. But I'll tell you, it's one of the most central concerns upon my pastoral heart and ministering heart is that the people of God will lose Jesus in the midst of Jesus' stuff. That people miss the King in the midst of the stuff of the kingdom of God. That you could actually be one who walks out and is in Christianity, but never really have relationship with Christ. These are a sampling of many scriptures which highlight that there is a difference between knowing the stuff of Christianity and knowing the Christ. Whether it be the scriptures themselves, forms of religion, doctrinal purity and love, which is all talked about, Jesus and the apostles pointed out that you can do all of these things and not be following and knowing the person of Jesus. The clear call from Scripture is to know Christ and not religion, called Christianity, John 17:3. And this is the eternal life. This is it, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, the Scriptures are very clear that the whole Bible, the whole witness of prophets for centuries and apostles, is a witness to a man, not just a witness to a doctrinal system. And it's sad when we reduce this whole walk to a system and to a code of conduct and to an attendance and to a whatever, and we lose the man. This is about a living Jewish man who claimed that he was God, who was born of a virgin, did signs and wonders, died on a cross and rose from the dead, and now is forever living to intercede. He's at the right hand of majesty, and he has sent his presence, his living spirit here, for people to be impacted and born again. Again, we were praying this morning. We're praying for great harvest, not only in all the nations, but in El Dorado, Wichita, Butler County, Sedgwick County. And my prayers have shifted from, Lord, save them from a burning hell to get to heaven, to, Lord, save them so that they can experience what you made them to experience, which is you, and become the worshipers that you deserve. And then, yes, of course, they'll be rescued from hell and go to heaven. But sometimes even our gospel message has made it about the people. And it's not about you. This is primarily, all things are by him and for him. And if you have a message that's about you preserving yourself and not having trouble, or about you in any kind of way, which Christianity can be sometimes, then you will end up losing the central figure of Christianity. But these are many. There are many who spend a lifetime practicing Christianity but never knowing the Christ. Getting focused upon the stuff of religion or Christianity and losing the Christ is a process where the means becomes the end. Now, let me just describe that really quick. And it happens to all of us. But I'll tell you this, Bible reading, prayer, church going, being in these fellowships, these are the means to the end. If your end is, I'm going to get in there and get faithful and be there every Sunday, I'm going to read my Bible every day, those are good things. You could do those things, though, and not be meeting with or going for Jesus. The end of this whole deal is you coming into union with the living King, with the person of Jesus Christ, having relationship. The reason we read our Bibles is so that we can know Jesus better, not so we can get better doctrine and argue better with people. It's sad to see those guys, and some of them have public ministries, where they're just arguing over crazy stuff, and they never talk about Jesus. They're talking about what's for today and what not for today, and I'm just like, please spend more time on talking about Christ himself. You see, because this happens because it substitutes, Christianity does, and counterfeits a heart-level relationship with the risen Christ. And it's a diabolical thing that happens. I really believe that. And I want to say this, and I know it's going to raise some of your, but I believe this with all my heart. I believe that often in cities, the most dangerous organizations, the most hurtful organizations for the advance of the kingdom of God are churches and not bars. I really believe that. And I love the church more than I've ever loved it, and I've prayed I wouldn't have a critical spirit right now. But I'm telling you, when we substitute Christianity and the practice of doing Christian things for leading people to know Jesus, live in Jesus, promote Jesus, we actually do a disservice to the population of cities. And there are tons of little churches and big churches all around whose main theme is the practicing of Christianity, trying to get it better. Here's some Christian principles, and here's five P's, and away they rhyme so that you're stirred up, and you can get all that about your self-improvement and miss Jesus, and it'll be a sad thing. I believe that Christianity, that religion, is one of the most dangerous things on the planet, and I don't mean it because we don't have to dress up, do suits, or play an organ. This is so beyond that. Who cares? You can worship and meet Jesus in the midst of that. That's not what it's about. What it's about is a heart-level decision. Are you having interaction with a living person, Jesus, Or are you living in a way where you're just trying to live up to Jesus? You're trying to live for Jesus. We've always said this, the WWJD thing, honestly, sounds very Christianity religion to me, as though you're going to think through your life. What would Jesus do in this situation? What I'll do is I'll cerebrally put a little marker in my mind, and I'll try to think of what Jesus would do, and I'll act like him. Listen, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is you're in Jesus, Jesus is in you, and he's acting out from you in every situation. I hope you see the difference, because that's sometimes that Christianity is relegated to a cerebral experience. We're following Christ as a heart level experience. So how do I know the differences? Here are some differences just to lay out for you as you think and meditate about this and go test it. And I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve Jesus most of all, because he loves you, people. He just so loves you. He loves the whole city, and he wants people to know him. But we've got to make the delineation, especially in a Western culture where there's not much cost. There's just not much cost here that delineates between things. It's so kind of meshed together. Number one, Christianity is a culture to be learned. Knowing Christ is a personal relationship to be developed. That's a huge difference. Christianity is learning to talk this way, learning to do the Christian things, learning to do all that. It's a culture. It's not, knowing Christ is about a person. Number two, Christianity is devotion to a creed and walking out and being faithful to that creed. Though sincere, you're all about the creed. Knowing Christ is devotion to a person, to a living person. Number three, Christianity is lived out of a sense of ought. I ought to be doing this. I ought to be praying more. I ought to be Bibling more. I ought to be witnessing more. It's always there. That's not how knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is lived out by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And there's a real difference. I wonder in your life, and I do this all the time. It's one of the key things you do in discipleship. I ask diagnostic questions all the time, asking, how are you doing in the Lord? That question is so loaded. And it's not going to be so much about the stuff you're doing. I want to hear how you talk about relationship with Jesus. And a lot of times I hear, you know, I'm doing okay, but I could be doing better, and I ought to be doing this, I ought to be doing that, I ought to be doing that. When I hear that language, I might agree, yeah, they ought to be reading their Bible and praying more, but I know that there's a bigger loss going on. When you're talking from the culture or the place of ought, then you're probably not having living interaction with a leader, with the Holy Spirit. And I'm asking you to think this day because I want you free. God's not making slaves. He's not making slaves that are just trying to obey Christianity. He's making partners who are in a loving relationship with him. Number four, Christianity is an up and down process that's controlled and driven by the conscience of man. Knowing Christ is a continual relationship that's filled with growing personal knowledge of God. You see, that's the real growing. You may memorize 15 to 20 verses, but still not know Jesus. You see, Christianity is growing in relationship. I want to hear people tell me about the nuances of how the Spirit led them, how Jesus was disciplining them, how Jesus was edifying them, what he said, what they adored, how they were with him, how they took the Bible, and it became alive because it became about Jesus and it was a personal thing to their heart. That's what we're going for here. And number five, Christianity does not need the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't need it. The fruits and the gifts. Knowing Christ is filled with supernatural manifestations because God is supernatural, and it's to affect our character, which is fruit, and our ministry or lives, which is gifts. Christianity doesn't need the gifts of the Spirit. It's because it's about you're just living by what your conscience and trying to do the best you can and trying to pull it off so God is satisfied somehow. I tell you that. This is bigger than a charismatic or non-charismatic issue. This is about the living presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why we always say about the gifts of the Spirit, all they are is God being alive. The fruits of the Spirit are God being alive in your character. The gifts of the Spirit are him being alive in your present situation. Please don't make God dead. Christianity doesn't need a living God to be lived, but knowing Christ demands it. That you have it, and it needs that supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean by that you're aware that a demon sets on you or you're having visions every day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all the various ways that the Holy Spirit is manifesting in the natural realm in you and around you for the glory of Christ. Number six, Christianity produces either pride or condemnation. I wonder if you know that. Christianity and me living this thing, either I do well and then I get arrogant and brag about it, even if I'm creative about it, or I stink at it, which is where most people live, and I'm in condemnation. That's what Christianity does. You know you're not in relationship with Jesus if you're swinging from pride or condemnation or living in one of those places. Knowing Christ exists in a culture of humility and edifying, growing grace with the person of Jesus. Two more. Christianity makes prayer, Bible study, worship, discipleship, etc., an optional duty that's conveniently fit into our normal life schedule. That's what Christianity does. If you're practicing Christianity, if you're sitting down and going, my real life is pretty busy, how am I going to read the Bible more? My real life is pretty busy, how can I pray? I just don't have time. I love you, but I'm asking you to consider whether you're living in Christ, if that's really happening. If you're knowing the person of Jesus, I know you're sincere, I know you want to do what's right, but you could be that in Christianity. You see, that's not what happens. Knowing Christ is delighted by and driven to prayer, Bible study, worship, discipleship, because they're blessed means to know Jesus more. You know, your central goal has become, I want him. I want him more than I want to be rich, successful, people like me, for my body to be satisfied with certain sins. I'm deciding now I want him. And by the way, the way to get him more is to read my Bible. I don't read my Bible to get sermons primarily. I read my Bible to know Jesus. And when I'm with Jesus, he tends to speak to me about things to edify others with. It's an awesome thing. Lastly, Christianity is focused on selves practicing and doing things like Christ. Knowing Christ is a progressive deliverance from self-focus to Christ's focus. Please look at that sentence. I know it's a little cumbersome, but it's very important to me. This is, to me, sanctification. Sanctification, in a nutshell, is me being delivered from the Adamic obsession with self-focus into a Christ otherliness, into a Christ focus. Christianity, I believe, will have you be around the things of Jesus, but you're talking about you more and how you're progressing and how you're doing and how your group's doing and how your church is doing instead of talking about Christ more. I think we're supposed to lose the thought of ourselves, not gain it. Jesus is not asking people, would you think more about how you can be a better follower of me? He's not asking you to do that. He's asking you to forget yourself and to look unto him and let him transform you to become something. Amen, everybody? That's better news. I have such good news for you. You do not have to be focused on you. Now listen, I said this a couple weeks ago, but it bears repeating. I get concerned when I'm in those discipleship things or group meetings, and people are using the word I. I'm trying to pray better. You've got all that happening, and they're talking about it, even in a way that might be self-deprecating. I'm not praying enough. I'm not Bible studying enough. And I'm like, man, I just need you to pause and take some time. I've done this in meetings. I don't want you to say another thing about you and how good you're doing with Christianity. I want you to talk about Jesus to me. Would you just brag on Jesus for a moment? Tell me how good he is. Tell me some good stuff he's done in your life. I need you to get this brain off of you. Even if it's, you know, some people say I got to get it off of the evil me. You got to get it also off of the good you. Did that make sense to everybody? That's a big deal. You think you just got to get it off of your lust, your pride, and your greed. Yeah, get it off that. But you also will not be free if you don't get it off of the good you, how you're trying to get better and gooder, you know? And it feels more noble. I'm thinking about trying not to sin more. I'm thinking about how to read more, how to evangelize. But at the core, you know what you're doing. You're thinking about you. And the glory of the gospel is to set you free from this addiction in the human race to where we become worshipers. That's why worshiping is so awesome, Jonathan. It's so awesome when we come together and we get to practice otherly thinking. And I tell you, knowing Christ does that thing. Come on, Tyler. I encourage you to meditate and ask the Spirit to help you discern whether you're practicing Christianity or if you're living in Christ. Will you do that this week? That's my assignment for you. I'm asking for the Lord, by the power of the Spirit, to comb out of you all living in Christianity and to bring you into a place where you're living in Christ and you're experiencing Him. And that's going to take a serious kind of Christ focus, a grace that will help you. I say this to you all because I love you. I want you free. Christianity's no fun. It's just no fun. It really stinks. It's going to wear you out. You're going to start judging people. Critical spirits exist in this. It really will. The only thing that's unified among us is Jesus. Jesus, and focus on Jesus as we give Him all that we have. Amen.